we are actually live right now. We should be.
I mean, like, that's perfectly fine. He has no job. That's what he gets for molesting someone with, you know, food.
But now we have Tucker Carlson squinting at people for an hour.
Is that...
Nobody believes him anyway. Nobody takes him seriously.
Who, Tucker Carlson?
Yeah.
You wish nobody took him seriously. Are you shitting me?
Fox just won like some kind of case or something like that. They basically argued that nobody takes Tucker Carlson seriously.
Oh, so he can say slander or libel or whatever it is all he wants because obviously it's parody.
Obviously it's parody or nobody takes him seriously.
Yeah. Yeah. So speaking of not taking somebody seriously, I was just mentioning to Dan before we go live.
We are live.
Yeah, I know. I was mentioning it, Dan, before we went live, so I'm going to mention it again now that we are live, that James Cameron says that Avatar 2 is finished filming and Avatar 3 is 95% done. Which, to me, I think that 95% is like when you're installing something on Windows and it just says it's 95% in like 30 seconds, and then it stays there for like an hour and a half to do that last 5% because the entire time you're paying for him to go deep sea diving.
It's like when I got a Windows update just the other day on my laptop that it took, I think, like 3 hours for it to finally finish.
That's why I try to do updates overnight.
Yeah. Thank God I didn't have to work on Monday, because otherwise then it would have been horrendous.
That's why I just don't do updates. Windows 3.1 is still doing fine for me. It's got DOSBox.
Yeah, but DOSBox? You can't play Steam on 3.1.
Or can't you?
I'm curious if you can.
You can do anything on anything if you don't know what you're doing.
Fair enough. Hey, and welcome to Crippled System, episode 318. I hope we're broadcasting.
318, that sounds like a thing.
Yeah, it's...
318. Does that number mean something? I'm going to look it up. It's going to be like one of those Hitler numbers or something.
Yeah, it's probably some white supremacist symbol.
Yeah. Yeah, it's Northern and Central Louisiana numbering code, or area code, I mean. Yeah. All right, apparently it's nothing. I'll allow it this time.
Hmm.
Also, Nathan, when there's a dagger of power 30, you know, you're probably going to lose.
Probably, unless you have, you know, a heat wave or fucking Morkvarg Heart of the Sea.
Yeah, I don't have any of those. It's very sad.
I'm sorry. Play K here. K here, I don't think there's any card that's either answered immediately or forfeited against immediately as much as K here in like any card game in the history of mankind.
What is K here?
So a lot of Gwent consists of like putting up engines and it's fine.
Immediately
like,
regret.
You know, you'll have your cards like boost each other, right? You know, and that's how you get extra points because Gwent's all about value on the table. And, you know, whatever. So K here is a card that just says every time any of your opponent's cards boost themselves ever by any amount, this guy just boosts himself by the same amount.
Oh. It's awful.
So it functionally shuts down all engines in the game by saying, sure, but I get it too. So any deck that's built around any form of boosting, i.e. every deck in the game, is just immediately fucked if you play K here and he doesn't get killed instantly. Also, he is no Nilfgaardian. He was in the Witcher TV show, too. Although I didn't recognize him because I forgot that Cahir starts out like evil and then becomes a friend of Geralt. And so he's still evil in the Witcher show. Spoilers.
Geralt's evil in the Witcher show. What?
No, Cahir.
Oh. Is he the
Did you watch the Witcher dude? Show?
I don't remember any of the characters.
Well, do you remember how there was one dude who was constantly chasing after Ciri?
Yeah.
You know, and he's the one that, like, fought the doppelganger in, like, the bar.
Whatever.
The point is that's K here.
Okay.
K here is sent by the Emperor to get Ciri and bring her back. But I won't go into spoilers about the Emperor. Because that's actually a really cool thing. Point is, Gwent update this Thursday. They're getting rid of Arena. So this is weird. This is worth talking about because you don't even need to. We can discuss this conceptually, Andy.
Okay.
Because this you'll get.
Yeah, you played Hearthstone, right, Andy?
Yeah, a little bit here and there.
Okay.
So Gwent has an arena mode that consists of you draft a deck, like a card at a time. They give you four choices, you take one. They give you four choices, you take one. Eventually you have a deck, you play. Bing, bang, boom. It's terrible. It's just fucking trash. So they're going to roll out a new mode where it's arena. It's the Hearthstone like dungeon style or whatever, where you're given three choices of three cards instead of just single ones.
Okay.
Is that unfamiliar?
Yeah, yeah.
Whatever. The point is, they're replacing Arena with that. That's cool. The issue is that current Arena dies Thursday. The new mode comes out maybe this year. They're not sure yet.
Wait, so they're closing something before they actually... before they have a replacement?
Yeah.
It sounds like our healthcare system. Let's get rid of it before... What are you guys going to replace it with? Something.
Let him die.
I got a plan. I'm going to trust you with that.
I did say Arena's bad, but I don't think it's fair to compare it to our American healthcare system. It's not that bad.
I mean, hey, what's going to come out first?
It's expensive and clunky, and I try to avoid engaging with it at all at the cost of my own life,
mm-hmm.
but it's not quite as bad as the American healthcare system.
Yeah, yeah. I don't know if we're actually live at all.
You know that we're recording.
We are recording audio. That's definitely something that we are doing at this time.
Raylene opened my bartender's handbook to a random page and said, make this thing, and it's not that bad. We made a Jockey Club cocktail, which is mostly gin and lemon juice. And I don't like gin, but this is okay.
I mean... The problem with gin is you have to fill it with so many other things that change the flavor of it, so it's drinkable.
I mean, the problem with gin is it's gin.
Yes. Yeah. No, this is like martini style, where it's like 80% gin.
Yeah, it's maybe.
And this is plastic bottle gin.
Ooh. That's...
I don't drink gin, and there's two choices you can have when there's something that you don't personally like, but you want to have it in your home in case somebody else wants it, which is either A, have something really good so that the fact that you don't like it is mitigated by it being high quality. Like, I don't like coffee, but at least this is good coffee, so I can kind of tolerate it. Or you go the other route and say, fuck it, I don't like this thing, so I'm buying the cheapest version I can because I'm never going to interact with it. And that's what I did with my gin.
So what you're saying is basically Jim just left it at your house and you've been mooching.
The last time Jim was here was for my birthday, and he asked me to make him a drink. You know, he's like, you have gin? I said, yeah. He's like, can you do this thing? I said, it's plastic bottle. He said, never mind, I'll have something else instead. So Jim, of all people, had a non-gin drink because of how bad my gin is.
Wow.
Yeah. And Jim is to gin like poo is to honey.
Everyone's pausing. I'm trying to figure out what's happening with my computer. I got it fixed now. It's all good. I just wanted to verify that we were actually broadcasting because I didn't see anybody in chat.
We're broadcasting. It's just nobody cares.
That's true, too.
Everyone's saving up their, you know, regret stream time for the debate.
Yeah, I guess that's if we are going up against the debate right now.
No, that's not until 8.
Is it 8? Oh.
Yep.
Is that why you have to leave at 8?
No, I'm doing bedtime instead.
Yeah, I was going to say, don't inflict yourself to that. A screaming child in a poo diaper is better.
Yeah, I'm not saying I volunteered to do bedtime just so I was no chance of being able to watch the debate, but it is an advantage.
Well, I was going to ask, does bedtime include a shotgun?
No.
That's how I'm going to sleep tonight. Oh.
No, save that for election day.
So I can catch the meteor.
Yes. Yep. Hopefully good plutocrat will defeat bad plutocrat.
Yeah.
It's still an upgrade.
Yeah. Better to be stabbed in the gut than in the neck, right? Like they'll both kill you, and they're both painful, but one is, like, undeniably better than the other.
I say.
I don't really want to get into the semantics of the horrible political ads that I've seen, but... I did see one. Why I'm bringing this up? I did see one that was basically talking about how supposedly Biden is trying to get rid of our Social Security and stuff like that. And then they show a clip of him back in like 1994, you know, talking about Social Security and that. And that that to me sounds, you know, hey, that's kind of a valid point. You know, we're bringing up something that the other person has actually said. And then that commercial, which is very pro-Trump, just suddenly just takes like a hard jump over the shark, because then it's like, Biden is trying to steal your money from Social Security and give it to illegal immigrants. And I'm like, how
right wing media right now is really just how many scary words can we put into it at once?
I mean,
my favorite one that I've seen, because it plays in front of some YouTube videos and stuff, because I don't pay YouTube for no commercials because fuck giving money to YouTube, is one that says, in Biden's 47 years in politics, Made in America has been replaced with Made in China. Vote Trump. And I'm like, first of all, like, it's not like Biden personally over those 47 years has destroyed the American economy. Second of all, every one of your MAGA hats is made in fucking China. Like, Biden could have a total campaign of nothing but commercials of him flipping those hats over and pointing at the Made in China. Like, of all the hypocritical things to do, you're going to fucking tell me Made in America replaced with Made in China. And the other good ones are all the ones that saying the world's terrible right now. We need somebody who will fix it. We need Trump. It's like, it's happening under Trump, you fuck nuggets.
Nigel had mentioned to me, I was talking to him earlier, but he mentioned a YouTube ad that he saw for political, which is no talking, no sound, except for it's just Biden and Kamala Harris just laughing with the scenes of rioting that's happening behind them.
Sure.
Just
sure.
That's all it is. It's just that. Like, really?
The best things about these, by the way, are that there's people that they work on, but like there cannot be an undecided voter right now. There just can't be. Anyone who says they're undecided is just saying, I'm racist, but I don't want to tell you yet.
Yeah, probably.
Because if you haven't made your mind up in the last 4 years whether or not you think this is okay, were you in a coma for those 4 years? That's the only way that I could see it being feasible.
Mm-hmm. On other news, so CID ended for Trollbloods, I think? Or did it just start for Trollbloods?
They just got update 3.
Oh, okay. Yeah. And isn't there like some other CID, something that's dropping too? I don't know. I don't pay attention.
I don't know.
What do you want?
I don't. I think you are the most likely to play War Machine at this point, Andy.
No. Maybe. I've got no one to play with. Nobody comes over here anymore.
We're all in on Warcaster.
Yeah, I had somebody that was very interested in playing Warcaster, but I don't have enough to... I haven't even touched the models. They're still sitting in the box over there.
Dan and I had full commitments.
I say, I am working on my second faction. I picked up one of each starter units, and I definitely went all in on the Athernus Continuum because I think they look cool. And then I opened up my other two battle boxes, and I really like how the ISA look.
You son of a bitch.
The Marcher World looks like shit, so I sold those to John Service because I just do not care for the aesthetics of the models. Now that retail pre-orders have actually gone live, I now am about to buy the rest of the ISA I need from Noble Knight.
Nice. There's only four factions. You can't complain if somebody jumps over to your faction. Or is there only three?
Nathan, well, there's three right now.
One announced. I was not calling him a son of a bitch for taking my faction. I was calling him a son of a bitch for thinking space capitalist looked cool.
No.
I want to paint space marines again without giving GW money. This is the closest I will get to that dream. As a matter of fact, I am painting my ISA with my traditional Space Marine scheme from back when I played 40K. All
right.
In other news, I gave Games Workshop money. I actually ordered something from their site.
Oh, I've dropped like $150 in paint on them lately.
Oh,
so.
paint is, their paint is fucking awesome.
In other news, contest. Somebody else in Madison is painting their Warcaster stuff pink, and I thought I called dibs on that.
He's in Green Bay, actually, I think. But yes, unless it's another pink Warcaster one.
Yeah, I don't know. I bought, I ended up buying the new Snotwing team for Games Workshop for Blood Bowl. Because Blood Bowl, I like it.
Hooray, Blood Bowl.
Yep.
When's the new edition coming out, supposedly?
I do not know, but I think maybe around November or so. It's, I mean, it looks cool. I'm excited to play it. So we'll see how crappy it is or good it is.
Blood Bowl's fine if you don't give a shit.
Yeah.
Like, it's an inherently flawed game, right? And the issue is you have to be okay with that. You have to play it that way. It's
You have to be, you have to basically accept that you're playing an out-of-date game with old values from early Games Workshop, you know, where
yeah,
one
you
in six is always the thing. You know,
you have a 1 in 6 chance of failing literally anything.
Yeah.
Like there's no skill mitigation of that. Yeah. And this is a game where you're going to do at least 6 things a turn, probably. So you're just going to fail.
You have a 1 in 6
chance. Maybe not. I guess with blocking and stuff.
Yeah. I mean, you have some rerolls, so you can kind of mitigate it. But at the same time, it's, you know, yeah. Oh, so Sparrow's trying to say in chat that it's the players who are too competitive for Blood Bowl, which...
Yes, who killed the game.
Yeah, they're going to kill the game. You better tell them to stop being competitive.
Hey, that reminds me, I forgot. We forgot our weekly Steamforge update. They still suck.
Yeah. I will say this, though. Their line for the D&D minis or their Adventures minis do look really cool. I have no use for them. I mean, somebody like Brian, who is a podcast member, who runs a lot of his own D&D campaigns, he could use those, but there's also a lot of other companies out there that make good enough minis to use for your D&D campaigns than pay more money to Steamforge.
But I mean, Steamforge, they're the bestest.
Are they?
Are they?
No.
Yeah.
No, they're not. They're not. I'm sorry if that was unclear.
Yeah, I'm trying to remember. They made some announcement last week, and I've already forgotten what it was. it was a thing that they were previewing where it's like, we actually have an announcement this time. And I want to say it was some Dungeon Quest clone thing that everyone in the world was just like, we already have 4 of those sitting on our shelf.
Speaking of Dungeon Quest clones that we have 4 of sitting on our shelves, Kickstarter for... Hero Quest.
But it's not really a Kickstarter, though.
Not specifically
a Kickstarter.
You're right. It's a different company, but it's crowdfunding campaign for Hero Quest.
It's
second edition.
I think it's...
Although they stripped all the GW paint off of it.
Yeah, but it still looks similar. Like, the gargoyle looks like the gargoyle. I mean, it's very similar in tone. But minis actually look pretty decent in it. It's only like $100. For it. I think it's like that's run through the Dream thing that Hasbro has. Like the Unicron that was like $750 if they could get enough pre-buys for it that they'll make it. You know, Unicron from Transformers.
No, please explain.
Please explain? Okay. He's a planet that eats planets.
That seems nifty.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. And then is also voiced by Orson Welles in his last role ever. It was like a couple days later after he recorded it, he died. But
after the drunken wine commercial.
Yes, yes. So you got post drunken wine commercial Orson Welles, you know, shaping your childhood. That's I brought you here for a purpose.
That's your Unicron impression?
Well, you listen to it, that's kind of what it sounds like. I don't know if it, yeah.
Third Man was such a good movie, and then Time made fools of us all.
Third Man, I don't know the movie.
Okay, it's a good movie.
I don't know it. Please explain.
It's an Orson Welles movie. I don't know what you want out of me. It's like it's a spy movie.
Fair enough. I should show quickly what my camera sees and my other monitor. It's probably not going to do it right because it's too dark.
There it is. Yeah,
but it's
there's,
not jittering.
There's me.
Why is it not jittering? It's supposed to be jittering.
Oh, there's jittering. Look at my finger go.
Yeah.
Well, that's not happening in real life. So you can rest assured that everything's okay.
It's A-okay.
It's .org.
What
that's
else?
That's a Home Star Runner reference.
Yeah. Well, nobody knows that. We're old.
That's true.
There's maybe a few people that may know about Home Star Runner.
Dan, you're young. Do you know
Home
Star
Runner?
I
know about Home Star Runner.
Who's your favorite character on Home Star Runner, Dan?
I mean, I don't know anything about it. I just know it exists.
Damn it.
Do you know how to type with boxing gloves on your hands?
Oh, wait. That's the one with Strong Bad, right?
Yeah.
Okay. I'll say, I'm not young enough that I don't know about that. I just didn't care. But, like, one of my roommates in college was very obsessed with it. I just didn't care.
And that's fair enough.
I mean, I cared. I cared about Trevor the Vampire. I cared about Light Switch raves and stuff like that.
Come on, Fahoogagod. Come on, Fahoogazod.
I have to say, though, probably my favorite character out of the whole series, though, was Strong Mad, his brother.
I mean, all three Strongs were good.
I didn't like Strong Sad that much.
How dare you?
No one likes Strong Sad.
Yeah, but he's great at being, like, he's the wet blanket, but he's great at being the wet blanket.
Yeah, yeah. It's a well-done character for you to not care about.
Exactly. You cracked the case.
Yeah, yeah. Do we have anything else? I mean, other than... Do you have any? I mean, we're starting to play some more of Dead by Daylight, or at least I sometimes am. You guys are playing a lot more than I am.
I mean, Dan doesn't play Dead by Daylight. We were trying to get Dan to play Dead by Daylight because then we would have fifth. Because Beanish, remember Beanish of Muse on Minis fame?
Muse on Minis? No, he was never on Muse on Minis.
Beanish was playing with Brian and I the other day. And then I played Among Us with Beanish and a bunch of his friends and family members.
I thought you were
but
trying
you
to get me in
because
on this.
You don't like Among Us. What was that, Dan?
I thought you were trying to get me in on this.
Oh, wow. Rude. Not a Beanish fan, are we?
Eh.
Fair enough.
My only experience with Beanish is the worst of the Focus and Fury episodes.
I mean, he's fine.
Oh, yeah. I said Muse on Minis. Sorry.
You
Focus
did.
And Fury is what I meant to say.
I was trying to get us Focus and Fury. Yeah. He's,
whatever.
I think he was maybe on a Muse on Minis episode.
Tomato potato.
But he guest starred in our episode 17.
That's true.
Yep. Which is a great episode. Great episode with Keith, where he interviewed the Texans on.
Is that the episode that was?
Yep. That was 17? The one. That's the one where we had Beanish introduce us. I think that was the only episode he's ever been on. Matt has been on us a couple times.
That interview was so golden.
That interview took forever to make. And I didn't even have to do the searching for the sound bites.
What are you talking? Wait, what
oh,
wait,
no,
what are you
I
talking
did.
About?
Oh, yeah, no sound bites. Yeah, it just, I mean...
Have you ever seen Keith's schedule?
Yeah, it's trying to get him scheduled to do something.
Oh, sure, sure.
Yeah,
we all searched for sound bites. By the way, we divided and conquered that.
Yeah,
because I remember I had to get timestamps and stuff like that.
Yeah, it was bad enough for me to then parse those timestamps then to try to figure out what kind of conversation that you guys were trying to piece together.
He does hate those Texans, though.
He does, and their cowboy hats.
But he's going all in on Seer Forge.
Yep.
I still remember that goddamn interview. I'm kind of ashamed of that.
I had to play it, play it back and forth so many times to make sure I got the pacing right. I really, really do enjoy the editing of his laughter. That was probably easily the best. It sounded so much like Keith. It sounded very robotic.
Ha 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 ha.
Don't you have a Monsterpocalypse podcast with him?
Just save some time and tell him to fuck himself.
No, I know. It's also COVID too, so that puts a damper on things, but that was way before COVID.
Yeah, I think yeah. Anyway.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Nathan's gonna kill me. I'm sorry.
No, he isn't. It'll take way too much driving for that.
Well, you could just pay somebody else to do it.
I mean, that's the American way.
Yeah.
I'm far too comfy to get up and drive to Fitchburg.
I'm not in Fitchburg. Ah, joke's on you. Oh, you know where I live, though. Damn it.
Yes. He may not know what the name of the town is, but he knows
where it is. Yeah. So I ended up buying some more stuff for Shadows of Brimstone. So they came out with like a revised edition for the two box sets that has a whole bunch of FAQ changes and updates to all the monsters to make them a little bit harder to battle against. So I'm excited about that. That's coming this Friday.
Nice.
Nice.
Other than that, not really that much going on, just more of the same.
You're continuing to buy stuff in the desperate hope that someday, eventually, we'll be able to interact with people in real life?
Yeah. Yeah.
Remember, this Saturday is supposed to be board gaming. Nobody's even brought it up.
Is it? Yeah, it is supposed to be board gaming on Saturday.
Which means I'm supposed to be reading rules for Reichbusters.
Yeah, I think someone literally brought it up like 20 minutes ago.
Oh, okay.
It was after we began podcasting.
So Jason's not showing up, though. Oh, my God. We're talking about things that no one cares about right now.
Yeah. We're discussing plans.
Yeah.
I do know that sometime in the course of this. Yeah, exactly. I need to listen to two Dresden Files books, because the one that I needed to listen to before the new one came out, the new one just came out today.
Oh, yeah. I've never read a Dresden File book.
Yeah, I mean, should I start with really this read one? Books.
Yeah, I guess you have to know how to do that. To read.
I believe that you know how to read. I just don't think you do it.
I'm choosy with my reading. So, like, you send me a message, I might read it and then respond to it. Actually, I choose to respond to. I don't know how.
I don't That's know. Fair. I'll allow it.
So, yeah, we definitely need to get some more Among Us and other stuff into play.
Oh, yeah, back to Nathan accusing me of not wanting to play with you guys. It's not that I don't want to play with you guys. It's just I don't really have evenings because I have a 4-year-old.
Yeah, but you just push him out into the COVID world. That's probably not the right thing to say.
That is an approach. I do not recommend that approach.
No.
But that is an approach.
It is something you're allowed to do.
Yep. Yep. No, I'm glad that you guys are staying safe in that regards.
Yeah. I mean, even the concept of board gaming, we made sure that we had an insular group of like 4 people, all of which who agreed that this would be like their only social interaction with anyone, you know, and we paced it every 2 weeks just to make sure that if something did go wrong, we'd be quarantined from each other for that time. Like, of all the ways to do something stupid, we try to do it in the most careful way possible. It's like Evel Knievel having his seatbelt, right? Like, you shouldn't be doing it in the first place, but at least you're doing a little bit to make it safer.
Yeah. Speaking of stupid things, did you see that, was it San Diego's Comic-Con is going to have Comic-Con in November or some shit?
Well, freaking you, the one that you just didn't go to. Blood Bowl-orama.
Yeah, the Chaos Cup had their own. I mean, it looked like everything was spaced out, but at the same time, you have people there drinking, eating without their masks on. There was temperatures taken at the door before the events. And that,
it can't be spaced out unless they were using those little sticks like the people in the military movies have to push soldiers around on the giant map. Like, if you're playing a game of Blood Bowl, you are 2 to 3 feet away from somebody.
Yeah. Well, I'm saying the tables were away from each other. And most of the pictures, okay, everybody had a mask on. So
I'll just interact with this one person, and then that person and I will each go interact with another person,
yeah,
who will then go and interact with another person. And I forget, is this at all related to how pandemic spread?
I don't know. I mean, Florida's opening up all their bars, so, I mean, to 100%
capacity. Florida's more to look at Wisconsin.
Yeah, we're not doing too well. Yeah. Yeah. I think we're going to do fine.
All right, well, fine then. Dan, grab your kid. We're going to the bar.
Yeah!
I mean, that sounded awful to me pre-pandemic.
You're going to a bar?
Well, actually,
yeah,
well, let me think about it. Which bar are we going to?
I don't know. You got a favorite?
I know several bars that have really good food, and, you know.
We can go to the Paradise.
I'll sit there and
downtown.
Watch you be an idiot for yourself for a while if I get to eat, so.
Middleton Sport Pub is right over by you, huh? That place is pretty good food.
Yeah. I mean, there's a bar like a block away from me called Paul's that is one of the best fish fries I've ever had.
So they have good tartar sauce?
They do.
Because that's the only thing that matters at a fish fry. I've heard legends that underneath the tartar sauce, there's something called fish. But I don't know.
See, and I like it because you can get fish that isn't just breaded and deep fried. So
the fish exists to be breaded and deep fried so that you can put tartar sauce on top of it.
Fish are not an entirely their own tartar sauce delivery system.
That's counterpoint.
True.
Yes, they are.
Depends on the fish, though, because there's some actually really good fish that's out there sometimes. Somebody, Legionnaires mentioned in chat is Swedish fish. You could put tartar sauce on your Swedish fish.
You could.
That is a short road to regret, though. You'd probably be better off making a tartar sauce analog out of mayonnaise and Swedish fish than just putting tartar sauce in Swedish fish. It would almost work. It's almost.
So it's
Swedish
kind of like
fish Oreos.
Those are not bad. I like those. They're actually pretty darn good.
You know what? My first I was reacting the same way as Dan until just now. I figured that's really just like a berries and cream kind of thing, mm-hmm. which is a thing, but it's also wrong.
It sounds like it's horrible, but it truly is not. I would recommend them. The aftertaste though will last for days, though. That's the only maybe drawback for them. But yeah, it's just more of the same of our wonderful global pandemic. Just sitting at home, watching our tally numbers rise. Especially in Wisconsin. We're like the third largest growing numbers, isn't it?
Yeah. Well, you know, again, bars and stupidity. And yeah, there's two things we got going for us. It's bars and stupidity.
Oh, God. Yeah. So I assume Florida. Florida is probably the top. I don't know.
South Dakota was for a while.
Like nobody in South Dakota.
They're still dealing with the fallout of Sturgis.
Oh, yeah.
Because it turns out putting 200,000 people in South Dakota is a bad idea.
Yeah. Yeah. I did remember seeing the news about the like 250,000 people
are potentially
positive
exposed,
cases.
Yeah.
Positive cases were traced back to Sturgis. Yeah.
It's a little fuzzier than that. Like up to 250,000 people had the chance of being exposed. Like they didn't.
Yeah.
It was statistical analysis of places that had higher spikes based on how likely people from that county were attending Sturgis. So it got badly reported because a lot of news sites cut off the up to part.
Oh,
and
they
were like, 200,000 people exposed due to Sturgis. And like, no, but good try.
just you need to work on your fear mongering just a little bit.
God, that's getting so frustrating.
Yeah.
Good old fear-mongering. Everyone's a fan.
Yeah, no, I'm not. No, I'm not. I would like to go to an actual restaurant and eat, but
well, that's not fear-mongering's fault.
Well, yeah. Yeah, I guess that's kind of, yeah, true.
I mean, Andy, you are doing much better than me. I keep on going on the internet and seeing people who I swear no joke think that COVID has a 70% mortality rate.
70%?
Yeah, it's actually like 4.
Yeah, it's a.
But like I said, there are people who no joke literally act like it is a guaranteed death sentence.
Right.
And it's like you are better than someone not wearing a mask, but not by much.
Yeah, like you've gone too far the other direction.
Yeah.
Yeah. Chad has also mentioned that it is Legionnaires again is wants a Chinese buffet soon. And you know what?
There is a good Chinese restaurant in Sauk that Raylene can stop it on the way home, so she can at least pick up Chinese food when we want it, and she'll bring it home. The other day, we had Indian for, like, the first time in, like, a year now. Or not a year, I guess, in 8 months now. And, oh, we got way too much food, and we ate all of it, and it was wonderful, because Indian food is the greatest.
And then you were hungry in 30 minutes?
No, you are not hungry in 30 minutes after Indian food.
Oh.
Yeah. Indian is one of those things, is one of the two things I can eat where I'm full all day.
Mm-hmm.
And I kept eating after that. Because I was just so happy. We had got like 4 different flavors of naan. I had my vindaloo. There was like paneer tikka masala. I got chicken 365. Like just more.
For years, my wife and I's tradition on like Christmas and Easter has been to go out to an Indian buffet because they don't care about Christian holidays. So they're open and happy to have customers. And like there are several years that we'd be like, before we go, let's put on the stretchy pants.
Well, because you're Middleton area, so are you going to Amber?
Now we are. We used to go to Maharaja before Maharaja fell apart and their cook went to Amber. So
yeah. when I found that out, I was like, I used to love Maharaja, but now I like Amber so much more. And someone's like, you know that Amber has Maharaja's old chef. I'm like, well, I guess I just like that dude's food. What this boils down to.
Yeah, really. I mean, the only thing is like. For better or worse, the people at Amber don't know me by my first name, but when it's a buffet place, I'm not really sure if everyone on the wait staff knowing your first name is a good thing.
Yeah, definitely. You don't want to be the guy that wants all the ham.
Oh my god, although I am happy to take all of the ham.
Well, like I said, it's one of those things where you have to, like, I'm not saying it's bad, but you do need to start questioning when they know what you're going to, like, they know your drink order when you walk in.
But at the same time, it's something like, that's
it's really good service. But at the same time, it's like, do I come here too often?
No such thing, man. With Amber, no such thing. I would go there every single lunch if I worked in the area. That would just be my shtick. I would get my work schedule changed to have an hour lunch break just so I had time to get to Amber and enjoy it before having to come back.
I will say, we've done a few times where we've gone out to eat with some of our Indian contractors, and yeah, Amber and Swagat are the two that are like, yeah, we'll voluntarily go there and not just go along because you know, think that you're trying, so that's definitely a good vote for them, because they're like, yeah, this is good, and it's consistent.
No, I want Amber.
Yeah, I'll say, like... I am happy that I can walk there.
This day and age, if you have a restaurant that can actually do takeout or something like that, it's so good. Jim and I, every Friday we go over to the Muya's over by Target. I don't know if Muya's is strictly a regional thing or.
It is, but it's weirdly scattered.
Oh, it's. Their double Diablo burger there is just so goddamn good.
For people who don't know, it's essentially Five Guys with shakes and sweet potato fries and more cheese options.
Yeah, I think it's Wisconsin centric. I've got
yeah,
this.
Yeah, I don't know whether it's like literally only Wisconsin or not, but it is definitely, you know, if it's spread, it hasn't spread far.
Yeah. Correct. Yeah,
it's what I would expect movies to be if they would actually, you know. Make it happen. I'm very surprised that more franchises haven't tried making those type of things.
Like what?
like making a restaurant out of a like a an actual franchise, like a movie or something like that. Like, why hasn't somebody actually, you know, said, hey, Kevin Smith, we'll give you X amount of money if we can use movies?
Because it turns out when you open a restaurant, you usually have no money.
Yeah, that's true.
The restaurant business is surprisingly painful to get started in. And so, even if you're like just banking on fair use, you still have to worry about, well, I get sued as soon as I make a dollar.
Well, I mean, that you get permission for it first or something like that. I mean,
yeah, like I said, even the things that are fair use, people will still be like, I'm going to C&D you. And like, yeah. I don't want to deal with this.
Because I would like a Los Pollos Hermanos.
I mean, who wouldn't?
Yeah, I would eat at that chicken place. I'm about most of season 5 of Saul right now. And it's really good. Damn it. Other than that, I mean, gaming wise, I'm in the top 300 for the amount of pets a player can have in WoW right now, according to sites that report it.
Just walk away.
No, I can't. I can't.
He's in too deep.
I'm not.
You're never in too deep. Just sever.
No, I can't. I can't. I can't. I gotta get them all. There's two more pets I can possibly collect right now, but they're behind an achievement barrier.
Oh, my lord.
Wait, you're number 300 and you're only missing two?
I'm missing two that I can potentially get. The other ones are, like, super expensive ones. Like we're talking, like, thousands of dollars on eBay to purchase.
Because they're not available anymore.
Yeah.
Oh, got it. Okay.
A lot of them are collector's editions. Like, I never got the original collector's edition of WoW, Burning Crusade, or Wrath of the Lich King. So I'm missing out on all those pets.
Well, then it's impossible to get them. You might as well stop now.
No, it is possible. I just have to win the lottery, and then I could buy them from somebody.
Well, then stop playing WoW until you put your WoW money, yeah, whatever you spend monthly on WoW, put it towards lottery tickets.
Nope, that seems a waste.
WoW seems a waste.
That's why I said it.
I mean, I really, for entertainment values, 15 a month is actually pretty good.
Yeah, it's, I mean, the amount of money I've saved during the pandemic has been helpful.
That's like half a popcorn at the movies.
It's a half a Mulan. Oh, please. I really hope that that's not the direction we're going into for playing movies at home, is we're going to charge $30 for it.
To me, that's not as much the issue as just the concept of how bad Mulan was. Everything about that film can fuck itself.
Did you see it? Or was
Remember,
it just more reviews?
The key message of Mulan is to be born with superpowers and never have to work for anything whatsoever, and also submit to the will of China.
Well, I mean, that movie was made specifically for the Chinese box office. It just then tanked there.
Even the submit to China, like the fact that they made it official that she did this out of love of the emperor and to save the emperor, not out of duty or honor, blah, blah, blah. The choice to make her a superhero. She's literally born with superpowers. Instead of just being a normal girl who works hard and proves that she can be as strong as a man, she's just a superhero born with superpowers. Like,
I'm not sure if that's is that pretty much how the movie is.
Is literally the new version. She is born with superpowers, and I don't just mean that in that she's already good at stuff. They explicitly say that she has superhuman powers.
So it's not like traditional storytelling of that area, you know, like we're like Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon. So no, those characters don't have superpowers. It's just how they tell the stories of those characters. Okay.
It's not even like Crouching Tiger where it's just exaggerating, but everybody who's good at martial arts mm-hmm. is also able to do that. It's that everybody's normal and is represented as normal except for her who has superpowers.
It made only $23 million opening weekend in China.
The original one.
The Disney one.
The Disney one. Oh.
The new one. The original one was actually popular.
Yeah, so it like they gambled on the Chinese market and failed.
Yeah.
But they they gambled so hard that they shot themselves in the foot for the rest of the world as well. So that also failed. So
I think it would have done really well in the US though.
No, it has done bad in the US.
Nobody's talking about if it went to the theaters. The thing is every single one of these live action Disney films has been completely shit, and every single one of them has made $1 billion because quality does not matter anymore. And the concept of just watch the original Lion King, it's still good, for some reason won't sink into people's brains.
Yeah.
Even the tolerable live-action ones are still worse than the original. Like, maybe the new Cinderella. I'm not counting stuff like Maleficent, because that's not a direct remake.
Are you talking about
remake.
Beauty and the Beast?
No, I was talking about Cinderella.
There's a live-action Cinderella?
The thing is, it's before they picked up speed and did, like, 2 a year, there was a live-action Cinderella like 4 or 5 years ago, and that one was fine, right? But
I don't remember.
Yeah,
I remember Beauty and the Beast,
the Alice in Wonderland, you know, the live action Alice in Wonderland that was bad, although the sequel was supposedly more tolerable, but I'm not going to give it a chance to find out.
I don't think that was Disney. Was that Disney?
Yes.
The Johnny Depp I play dress up in a movie again, Disney.
Yeah, I believe so.
I didn't think that was. Oh. I didn't like those just because of Johnny Depp. They're just, I don't need any more movies where he has to have an excuse to play dress up. Are you looking up to see if?
I am checking right now.
Yeah, it's Disney. It's right there on the yeah. It's right there.
Oh,
on the
yeah,
poster.
That's a Disney. Yep.
Weird.
Fifth highest grossing film of all time during the theatrical run.
The Alice in Wonderland? What?
Oh,
that's...
kill me.
I mean, that was a decade ago, so that was pre, like, all of the Marvels, so.
Yeah. Still.
No.
Like, the Beauty and the Beast was fine, but, like, it was not needed.
So
yeah.
It is like C plus fine at best, because there's still a bunch of terrible shit about it. And even if you grant it being fine, the original one's amazing.
Correct.
Like fine is worse than amazing.
It's like the Lion King didn't need to exist. Had they done the animation basically with emotes instead of making it hyper realistic, I think it would have done better. But again, why does it exist? Because the original is animated really well. And it's been, you know.
Do not understand. And the thing is, they'll keep doing it until it fails. And for some reason, it just continues to not fail.
Yeah, I actually had kind of high hopes and expectations for Mulan out of the remakes, of being one that would be like, oh, this seems like this could actually draw my attention in, rather than, because it looked like it was just kind of like a Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon, kind of like a felt like in the
commercials. So according to Rotten Tomatoes, the Alice in Wonderland sequel is half as good as the other one.
I've heard, wow. The reviews and stuff, like from like even the critics, is it critics or is it the audiences that say that, or is it both?
Both.
Oh, okay. Maybe this was a one-off one that said that the second one was actually slightly better. Either way, I'm not gonna fucking, I don't care. Like, there, lick me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So,
but what I would recommend is Return of the Killer Tomatoes.
What?
Return of the Killer Tomatoes. That movie's
TV
amazing.
Show? The TV show? The cartoon? I mean,
the cartoon was great.
I don't remember it. I just remember
all of the
theme
Killer
music.
Tomato related things. Return of the Killer Tomatoes is the most unironically amazing one of them. It legit has a scene where they run out of money in the middle of filming the movie, so they decide to start doing product placement, and it's just like something out of, you think about like great comedies like, you know, Airplane and stuff like that that have these parodies, and the Killer Tomato movies were already doing that ahead of that time. They are forgotten gems, and Return is the best of them.
Is it like
better or worse than the scene in Dune where you can tell they ran out of money?
It's better because the movie has the movie stop and admit that they're out of money and brainstorm how to continue the movie. And then George Clooney says, guys, let's get product placement. And then the next scene of the movie is just George Clooney mugging to the camera, like in that Wayne's World.
I was going to ask if it's like the Wayne's World sequence.
Yeah. But again, like a decade sooner, because it was not inspirational, revolutionary. I unironically recommend enjoying the ironically bad movie Return of the Killer Tomatoes.
Fair enough. I didn't know we were in recommendations. Parse that sentence. Already.
Well, it's 7:30. We got to be done by 8.
Oh, that's true.
We have 4 Zappy Grumbles, though.
Yeah.
Oh, Dan's got them?
That's true.
You got them, then?
Yep, I do.
Do you have the Twitches, too?
I have, but I do not have the Twitches. I just have the Twitters and the Facebooks.
Yeah, there's nothing on Twitch.
All right.
Well, then he does have the Twitches too. I do have a Twitch.
He has all the Twitches if there's none of them.
Well, all right. Oh, go ahead.
I could do the one from Twitch, and nobody else is going to be able to answer it. So, speaking of Blood Bowl, any thoughts on the new edition teams? Which they've leaked some of the new edition teams.
What are they leaked?
They basically leaked stat lines for the new teams. And there's stuff in there that doesn't make any sense because we don't have the official rules yet.
Sure, we don't have context.
Yeah. So, I mean, it looks cool. I mean, like I said, I'm excited because it is a change to Blood Bowl. And we've been literally playing basically the same version of Blood Bowl since, 1994 when 4th or 3rd edition came out. I'm sure it's pretty much going to be pretty much the same, but just with a little new more tweaks. All right, Zabity. Yeah, Zabity.
All right. What phone is the best phone to run Gwent on?
I mean, in my experience, a Google Pixel, but that's because it's the only one I've run it on. Your phone is the correct answer.
Correct.
Your phone is the best phone to run Gwent on.
Yeah, don't run Gwent on somebody else's phone, because then you'll be in possession of their phone, and then they'll get mad when you can't
at least not without text. Permission.
Yeah,
exactly. I mean, it's fine. The worst that can happen is you'll get the phone will get the Hungerford kiss. So
hunger for hug. It's the hug.
That was an expensive hug.
All right. What are your recommendations on green stuff stampers and rollers?
Oh my.
So green stuff stampers and rollers. They're really cool. I haven't really ever used them myself. I've seen them, so I don't really have any recommendations for them.
Model basing is something I always struggle with. Usually because I start thinking about basing after I've finished painting the model, which drastically limits my options.
I feel that basing is always the most important part of the model, because you can have the most beautiful painted model, and if it's just stuck on or just like some gravel, it looks horrible to me. So, I mean, there's a lot of companies out there that sell those rollers. I mean,
it's a neat concept. Like I said, I usually for whatever reason, don't start thinking about it until I'm too far in to do a lot of basing options.
Yeah. I think Secret Weapon Miniatures sells those.
I think so. There's actually some pretty cool tutorials on how to make your own.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not that hard. So.
Yep. Savvy.
Grumble. New hero quest. Throw it in a dumpster fire or go balls deep?
I mean, the game will be unplayable garbage, but if you either are or have the nostalgic, mindset of a 10-year-old, you'll love it anyway.
I mean, so when they did Fireball Island, I don't think it's Hasbro that did Fireball Island. Was that just a straight conversion over from the original with new rules, or was it just a reprint, basically?
Basically a reprint, I think. And I think that's what they're doing with HeroQuest. It's like basically a reprint.
Yeah.
I thought they tweaked one or two things with Fireball Island.
Okay.
I also heard that Fireball Island was surprisingly good for what it was.
For a board game that's, almost 30 years old.
Yeah. Like, I know several people who went into it with very low expectations and said, it's still the same game, but they tweaked one or two things to make it still playable in 30 years later. And they're like, if this is, you have to accept this is a game you are playing with kids and is, going to have the depth of a game that you can play with a 10-year-old. But it's good for that. So.
Yeah. I mean, HeroQuest is not going to be like it's no Gloomhaven, right? It's no right. like
it's
one
no
of
Britannia.
Those. Like,
yeah.
It is what it is. And you got to be okay with that. So it's either nostalgia that's driving you, or it's the fact that you have an 8-year-old kid that's not going to be able to play Gloomhaven. Like, it's not going to be that same scale. But if you're cool with that, it's going to be great.
Yeah.
I mean, it's got some resculpts on the miniatures, so they definitely look better than the originals. If it is just literally a reprint, I mean, it's at least self-contained with a couple expansions added to it. And I guess it's still playable. I mean, people still talk about it. I mean, there's the guy on YouTube that talks about how great HeroQuest is. And I recommend
you'll note that in that entire video, he only mentions a gameplay mechanic once.
Yeah.
And it's to say, don't worry about it.
Yeah. But the thing is, though, there is many other dungeon crawl games out there that I think are far superior to that. Like, this is coming from a guy who absolutely loves the Games Workshop version of HeroQuest, which is Warhammer Quest. The old 1995 version of it when they released it is easily still one of my favorite games of all time. But that's after Milton Bradley and Games Workshop split for that IP.
Yeah.
I mean, there's so many better games than that right now. It's like Shadows of Brimstone is an insanely large dungeon crawl game with many, many different worlds involved in that. But if you're looking for something that's kind of cheap, I guess it's $100 to get the full game and all the miniatures. I mean, it's self-contained, so I guess it's okay.
It is what it is.
Yeah.
It's fine. Yeah. Like, you know what you're getting into, right? Yeah. Like, you're not going to be surprised by what you get if you buy HeroQuest. If you spend that money, like, I wonder what this game is like, well, then you're an idiot.
Yeah. I mean,
yeah, and also practically none of the three of us are in that game's target demographic.
No, I think I am. I think I'm still in that demographic. Yeah. I thought
you were probably the closest, but you're still out. Like, my kid's too young. Nathan's kids are too old. Like, we're just not. We're not who that's targeted to, and that's perfectly fine.
Yeah.
I mean, it's targeted towards 30-year-ago Andy and Nathan, right? And so current Andy and Nathan are excited about it because we remember 30-year-ago Andy and Nathan, but it's not targeted towards today Andy and Nathan. And the question that today Andy and Nathan have to ask themselves is if they're okay with that.
I think it's still targeted towards me. I think maybe down the line I'll probably still end up picking it up, but I understand. I'm a child at heart.
Yeah.
I don't like change though.
Zappity.
Grumble.
Alright, last question. If Nathan continues about Gwent, can we get one random Southern fact for David each episode?
Well, not this episode.
But yes.
Your random Southern fact this episode is that he couldn't come because it's his wife's birthday.
Yeah.
When he had to bake.
Yeah.
Which is,
I like that it wasn't just spending the birthday with her. It was specifically because he had to bake the cake. like, even if you bought the cake, you probably should not be podcasting on your wife's birthday.
That's
unless probably. She's part of the podcast.
We could have asked Cassie to be on. She would probably have been fine with it.
Maybe. Well, you know what? You should have thought of that before.
Yeah, I was too busy trying to set everything up. At least I think I got the audio right. The stream is going out decent, and I just don't have any branding for Crippled System on this stream right now.
And during this podcast, I got a 5-game winning streak, so if I win my current game, I'll be pro rank. True story.
You should share part of that screen as one of the windows.
Yeah, well, no, nope. All I did was just jinx it. Can I do that? Would it go out to the people?
If you stream it? Yeah, I think.
Will that show up to the people watching? Oh.
I think
for the audio people, they'll just hear me. They'll hear, like, don't get distracted. Don't watch my game. We'll continue discussing. You guys got recommendations to do.
Yeah, so, yeah, on the stream itself, we could actually have Nathan playing this. We could all do this, too. I could be playing WoW as we do our podcast. There'd be a lot of ignoring you as well.
Yeah, I think there'd be a lot of ignoring each other if we did that.
It's like I've seen a lot of places podcasts have, like, just one screen that's behind them with people playing a game or something like that. And I know with our group, we can't do that. They'd just be staring at that screen forever.
We even tried doing it with the same thing. We were going to do, like, Minecraft and just do normal podcasting, not even talk about the fact that we're playing Minecraft. That was just something for us to do while doing. And no, the professionalism could not stand that.
No, we can't. We can't. And I think when I was trying to do the stream on stream, like a game on the television behind us, everyone was just turning around, looking at the television, watching that instead. Yeah, we're not professional enough. Well, we're professional enough to hold a podcast. We're just easily distracted.
It happens.
Yeah.
Like, I'm distracted about the fact that this Anna is at 8 strength and I can do 7 damage in one go.
Yeah, I don't.
Is less than 8, Andy. Is less than 8, so I'm not even.
At least you won't be inspired then. Although it doesn't matter yet.
Yeah, I was thinking, I'm just going to build up my forces. 7's less than 8, Andy.
Yeah,
what's your recommendation? Raylene and I marathoned the previous season of Archer yesterday because we found out it was on Hulu and that the current season is being released weekly onto Hulu. So now we got to catch up to the current season so that we can watch it as it comes out.
I gave up on Archer a while ago. I just couldn't take the different world shifts. I mean, yeah.
They're fine. I like Danger Island and the Space 99. Like, they're just fun little alternate. They're different versions of the show, right? Like, and
it felt like it was different versions of the show that was self-aware that it was a different version of the show that tried to beat down the same amount of the same jokes as the previous versions of the show. Like,
yeah, but the previous versions of the show were doing the same jokes and still the same. Like, the show was stale as a motherfucker.
Yeah.
Like, something had to be done, and it was either cancellation or coma seasons. Like, those were your two choices.
Well, didn't they have to get around the whole, like, ISIS thing?
They just renamed the, like, that they could have done without doing the coma seasons. They could have just said, yeah, you know, the place they work for is not called ISIS anymore. And that's easy peasy. But the actual, like, having Archer go into a coma and having each season be a dream of a different setting so that they had, you know, the Danger Island, then they had a space one, they had the 19, like, 40s or 1920s, like, bootlegger one. You know, I don't know. Like, I completely get not liking them, but they're fine to me.
Yeah. It was okay. I'll probably watch it again. You know, I'll probably like it, but yeah, it was just it lost me.
Well, maybe you'll like the current season then.
Yeah, it's back to normal, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yep.
He bees awake.
It's recording on my DVR, so that's what all the other seasons have done until I start watching it, and I'm like, nope, I can't get into this, and I just shut it off.
Do you even need that? Don't you have Hulu?
I do, but I have a DVR.
I mean, I guess.
I get it through work, so, you know.
Fair point.
Might as well use it.
I cannot argue with that. Or at least I could, but it wouldn't be a very effective argument.
Yeah. I mean, which is really cool because the advertising for FX and Fargo has been pretty much null and void. In fact, the only time I really realized that the new season was out was like the day of there was a Facebook sponsored ad. I was like, what? And then good thing I already had a series programmed into my DVR, so it started recording it already.
All right, Nathan, what's your end game on this one?
So what it is I have Hanmara's Blue Dream so that I need to win this round. Then round two, I bring his Crow Messenger over here. So I have 4 crows and then I purify the doomed one so that round three, not Sigrifa's right. What's the bronze one? Freya's Blessing is a 20-point bronze because it brings out all 4 crows and Crow Mother.
Got it.
So yes, this is my crow. He just doesn't know it yet.
Got it.
It is a pretty looking game. So you just have animations, animated cards for everything, basically?
Yes. Yeah, I have played enough to have animated cards for everything.
Yeah, he does not appear to have played enough for animated cards. Oh, except for those ghostly
also
things.
Also, that being an 18-point card helps.
Yes, that being an 18-point card helps.
So I'm also looking at him like, what's your ketchup? But
my ketchup is Axel. Which does not work against, Nilfgaard or Skellige, because they'll just use, you know, any of their tall removals.
Yep.
Andy, don't you yawn.
I had a
Have
sudden...
you even done a recommendation yet?
Me?
Do
I have
I keep
any?
Telling you to do a recommendation.
Yeah,
Dan could be doing a recommendation.
Yeah, one of us could. Got to do
See,
it.
Normally, I'd be winning on
minutes.
Even with Axel. This guy's got a heck of a tempo going.
So what are the two red bars that are over on the right?
That's his rope. They just rope. It ropes from both ends to the center instead of from left to right.
Okay.
He's thinking. He wants to pass. Yeah. The problem is that I actually think that I am math fucked. And I realized that after I played Axel, because I'm behind by 8. Yeah, I actually think I'm math fucked. I think I lost this game. Because now this will be 2, and it'll do 2 damage to him, and then his stuff all triggered because of Anna. Yep. After I played Axel, I knew I'd fucked up. So there goes my pro rank. Now I have to win 2 games later. But I can do that tomorrow.
Sweet. How do I stop watching this?
I'll stop streaming it. So now everybody got to watch me lose my game. Wah, wah.
I mean, but we could have watched Nathan go pro. Like
we almost watched me go pro instead.
That would have been exciting. Recommendations. I don't know. My recommendation is to watch NFL football and just be weirded out by the crowd noises that they they pump in, because it sounds like that there's a crowd, and then they catch glimpses of just empty seats everywhere.
Like, did the Broncos also get the South Park crowd noise, or is it just cardboard cutouts?
I think they have cardboard cutouts.
Well, I know they had the cardboard cutouts of the South Park town. I just want to know if they got like the rebel, rebel, rebel sound effect too.
Oh, I have no idea. It was so weird hearing them talk about like crowd noises and that too, and then the announcers would stop broadcasting some of the extra noise, and so you could just
like
hear
what
everything.
Is Seattle doing this year? Because like their entire game plan for all their home games and the opponent teams just not being able to hear.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
They were talking too. It was like, yeah, the other stadiums where it's just as louder. It's like, but you guys are making it that way.
Yeah, you guys designed your stadium to reflect sound at the opposing, you know, bench.
Like, yeah. Yeah, no, but I mean, like, they're literally pumping in that sound louder instead of when they were talking, like, all the stadiums, all the crowd noises are loud. It just, it's so weird. Anyway, my recommendation is check out Saul, Better Call Saul Season 5. It's really good. It's probably on. I think it's coming to Netflix soon. It's a really good show. I wouldn't say it's better than Breaking Bad, but it's completely different. But it ties everything together to Breaking Bad, and you get to see Huel more, and Huel is the best.
And it doesn't just seem like a cheap, you know, like, oh, let's money grab by making up a sequel. Like, it justifies itself. Like, even not as Breaking Bad prequel, just like within its own story, it's well executed, it's good characters, yeah. It's a good TV show.
Yeah, it's a good show that happens to be a prequel to another good show.
Yeah. Yeah. The only real jarring thing, and Jim and I, we talk about it every time we see it, is that the actor that plays Mike is ancient. And he's supposed to be, you know, like 10 years younger than what he was in Breaking Bad. And he was ancient in Breaking Bad.
Maybe they'll reveal that he has Benjamin Button syndrome.
Well, and I'm sure you run into things every so often that is the problem with every prequel ever, which is you look at someone and you go, well, I know they get out of this because I've seen them later.
Yeah.
It's kind of like my same, like, not that, like, not that the Clone Wars is animated series is bad, but every so often you get into a point where they're like trying to set up tension with Anakin and Obi-Wan, and I'm like, they're fine. They're all fine.
Well, they really break fine from the script. For a certain definition for Anakin.
Yeah. I mean, I would say the tension of them being is in the movies.
Yeah, but like I said, that's like one of the only problems I have with the Clone Wars animated series is there's like, you do so well with everything else. Don't try and convince me that Anakin and Obi-Wan are in danger.
Yeah. Yeah, like I said, is with Mike, it's just weird because they try to make him out to be a complete badass because, you know, he is kind of a badass. But they have to do weird camera tricks to make him look like he's taking down people twice his size. And he doesn't really move as well. But anyway, show's good. I mean, who would have thought that you could have actually put something on the shoulders of Bob Odenkirk for, you know, five seasons, who's really only known as just a comedic actor. There's parts in there where he's got some serious chops.
I mean, the thing is comedy's hard, right? Mm-hmm. Good comedians can translate to dramatic acting way, way easier than dramatic actors can translate to comedy, because one of those is actually way fucking harder.
Yeah.
And that's one of the reasons I was so mad when Bill Murray did not get Best Actor for Lost in Translation and lost it to Sean Penn for Mystic River, because Mystic River is a perfectly fine movie. I don't have a problem with it. But Sean Penn and Mystic River just going, and it's easy to just scream and cry.
I do love how the background noise prevention cut out most of that scream.
Yeah, it did. Good. You just started with it. That's basically how it went.
Did you just do that yourself, or did it cut you out too?
No, I just
that was that. Impressive.
That was myself.
Can you make it sound like you're cutting in and out like static?
No,
like where you get half of every sentence.
No, I'm not.
Now do a machine gun noise. Were you in Police Academy?
No.
You know, actually, that does remind me. One of my coworkers sent me a YouTube link to some 1989 like rap R&B type song, and it made me realize that autotune hate is overrated. So I'm like, this song would probably be better if they fix some of the vocals.
Auto-tune is a tool that, when used right, is fine. It's like CGI, right?
I mean,
in a film.
Like honestly, T-painting, it would have made it better.
Just full
T-painting
on.
Is fine if it's a style that you're going for.
Yeah.
It's just, it's a tool and it needs to be used correctly. And sometimes correctly is just dumping as much on it as top as you want. Like, you know, go the T-pain route. But sometimes the correct amount is zero. And sometimes you're using that tool to try to fix something that's unfixable and the tool doesn't matter.
Yeah. And sometimes, like, I think it is T-pain who, like, actually can sing. He just likes how it sounds.
Yeah.
He's like,
Chris had posted this. Like, T-pain is actually an amazing singer.
Yeah, he just likes how it sounds, so he's like, I'm slightly lazy, and I like how it sounds, so I will let the computer fix it instead of actually working.
Remember, we live in a world where T-Pain beat Gladys Knight in a singing competition.
What?
And legitimately, he beat Gladys Knight in that singing competition. And if y'all had followed my recommendation and watched Masked Singer, you would have known this, because season one spoilers, T-Pain is fucking amazing at singing when he's not T-painting it up.
I could watch a show, but I hate those type of shows. The stuff I don't like is all the build-up in between the performances.
Sure. And the judges
judges.
I mean, I'm sure at this point someone has edited down to a highlights video, which would be perfect for me, because I could get like the 90 minutes of goodness and skip the rest of the season.
Yep. I like hearing people do covers and stuff like that. I think that's good there too, but I could care less what Kim Jong was. Is it Kim
Jong? Jong's on there.
Kim Jong?
Ken Jeong.
No, not Kim Jong Il.
So the first episode of the new season aired last week, and there's something that they did it naturally last season, and now I can tell that they're doing it on purpose, and it's way worse because of it. So like during they'll have like the clue packages where they'll like pan over and the character's saying stuff, and they'll have a little snippet where the judges will be like, oh wait, did you guys see that? That looks like that globe is shaped like Mickey Mouse. Maybe this is a Disney actor, right? Or something. And it's like, fine, that's fine. But now, like, what they'll have is, like, they'll be doing the thing, and they'll have a little picture-in-picture pop-up of, like, Jenny McCarthy just going, oh, hey, could this mean that? And it's like, oh my God, fuck off. Like, I just want to eat a gun.
Yeah, it's also Jenny McCarthy. I can't stand either.
Sure. But the point is now it's like, it's like when Dora the Explorer turns to the screen and she's like, do you see a tree? Where's the tree? It's like, fuck off, okay? I do not need this in my life. I was already watching your goddamn show. Eat my balls.
So Masked Singer is basically Blue's Clues for adults.
Those sequences are now, yeah, because they just shoved that Blue's Clues right into there. And it's like, I already was going to say, ooh, I see that, like, to the people I'm watching the show with. I didn't need you to prompt me like I'm a goddamn toddler.
Yeah, I agree with that entirely. I don't like it when shows treat me like a toddler.
And I will say, though, this season, so last season, they started in this season, they're doing the same thing, where instead of just, like, having, like, they're having, like, six contestants, and they whittle it down to, like, two, and then they're going to take the next six and whittle it down, then the next six whittle it down, and then they'll take those six and whittle it down, and then the season will be over. So, like, even though there's 18 total contestants, we're only going to see these first six for, like, the first four episodes, right?
Okay.
And this first pod, if it's indicative of the show, because there was one bad singer and five people who have to have a million Grammys each. And so, like, if it's like that for the whole season, like, as far as singing quality wise, this will be the best season. As far as, like, train wreck wise, it'll be the worst season.
Have they
Although the worst singer was a professional singer, because spoiler, they got eliminated because they were terrible and they took a mask out. I'm like, oh, you have lots of Grammys.
They could be writing Grammys.
No.
Is that what
you would recognize? You would know songs by this person, like who? That they sing.
Who is it? I don't it care was, about spoilers. Nobody cares about spoilers.
Are it was, you trying to figure out? Is Busta Rhymes?
He's yeah.
I mean, you know, he's hip hop. He's not known for, like, you know. But I mean, still is Busta Rhymes.
Yeah,
like, he's done successful enough. He has actual talent.
Yeah.
Although I'll be honest, when they first, because of how bad the singing was, and when they first said it's Busta Rhymes, my brain thought they were saying Biz Markie. And I was super excited it would be Biz Markie.
That you would be able to tell immediately if it's Biz Markie.
Give me my Biz Markie, you cowards.
Oh my God.
Yeah, now that I think about it, I think that actually was the person I was thinking about that my coworker sent me the link to.
Oh,
I still
Rhymes.
Love that I have a friend who, in their phone, I am listed as Businesswoman's friend. Which is a great reference to that song. I'm Businesswoman's friend. I also wish that was my, like, my user handle on the message boards. Businesswoman's friend.
Anyways, my recommendation is season two of a show I've recommended in the past called The Taco Chronicles.
Season two's out?
Season two is out, and it is longer than season one. There's seven episodes. So the taco. Go ahead.
Is it still all tacos?
It is all.
I'll let you go. I'll describe it for the listeners, and I will find out myself.
So the Taco Chronicles is a series on Netflix. It is talking about various types of Mexican tacos. And its gimmick is, all of the episodes are narrated by the tacos themselves. It is wonderful. It is in Spanish, so you are watching in subtitles. Although every so often now that there's a few parts of the new season where they go to, like, San Diego or Austin, and then it's in English, and it just seems kind of weird. But
it's in the native language of wherever they happen to be.
Correct. It's just funny because all of a sudden I'm like, wait a minute. All of a sudden I don't need to read.
Does it still have subtitles?
It does, because... But, yeah, it's very enjoyable. My major problem with it is I can only watch one episode at a time. Otherwise, no matter what time of day it is, I will go to the fridge and start eating. Like, and this includes the several times I tried watching it over lunch while eating. So after the first time where I had an entire plate of Chinese, I then still went to the fridge after the episode. So I'm like, I have to be careful about this. But
you need to eat Indian before you watch it.
I thought the heaping pile of Chinese would do it. Eating tacos while watching it is actually quite enjoyable. Although I halfway through, I'm like, I wish this was that instead of this. But no, it's really good. It's also really interesting just because, like, I've heard of about half of the styles they've talked about before watching this, but they all look good. Although it's also kind of neat just because you see how it's not just like high-end food or Mexico City. Like, there are several of them that are country tacos, and you can tell because they're like, we're using every part of this goat.
Sure.
And it's just interesting watching how they make it. And while, how do I phrase this? To my American palate, some of the things don't seem as appealing. They still look really good.
Well, and it does, at least season one, and I assume this continues in season two, it does a great job of doing what good documentaries in general, but food documentaries in particular, where the topic, yeah, sure, the topic's tacos, but the topic is really culture, right?
Oh, yeah.
Through the lens of the taco. The taco is just the way that you're seeing this thing, right? You don't go on like a Venetian tour because of the punt that you're on. You do it to see the stuff around you. The vessel is just an excuse.
Oh, yeah. Like, for instance, there's several of these types where, like, this taco will take you 30 seconds to eat, but took a day and a half to make. Which is why, you know, there's now, like, four places that still make it that way.
Sure.
And, you know, they're the people trying to hold on to tradition versus the people who are trying to fake it. You know, so. But now, it's very good. Go watch it.
You said it's available on Netflix?
Yep.
Mm-hmm. One quick recommendation is on Netflix right now, too. Go watch Cobra Kai. There's no excuses. Go watch Cobra Kai.
I don't have Netflix would be an excuse.
Mm-hmm. Well, damn you.
Oh, I guess also if you want to be depressed, go watch the Challenger. The Challenger one.
The documentary. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm saving that.
Like, yeah. Like I tried Challenger Final Flight. I started watching it and I had to turn it off because the first like 5 minutes is like all the crew members introducing themselves. And it's just like, I'm going to watch you die in about 30 seconds, aren't I?
Yeah. Oh,
yeah.
Yeah. That's
make sure you're in the right headspace for it, but it's good. This part of it I've made it through so far is just, like I said, you need to be in the correct headspace to watch it because you sure watch those people die.
I was talking to my boss at work the other day because, you know, 2 to 3 weeks ago was the anniversary of, you know, an important event in American history, according, you know, to whatever, never forget, et cetera, et cetera. And so people were talking about it at work in a meeting and, you know, where were you? And these people were like, oh, I remember I was, you know, in my elementary school class and they had it on TV when the towers are falling and I didn't understand and this, that. And me and my boss were just thinking like, we've had the same conversation, but we were talking about shit like the Challenger explosion, right? And mm-hmm. just how time flies that I remember like being too young to understand what happened, but old enough to see it and to remember it, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
Space be scary, yo. Although nobody's ever died in space. That'll be an interesting day when that ceases to be true.
That's true.
We got a lot of people trying to get to space.
Those three Soyuz people were technically in the atmosphere by the time they passed out. So, yep. You are correct.
People have died going to space and coming back from space, but in space, nobody's ever died. And we've had, like, freaking Apollo 13. Like, we've had times when people really should have died in space when you think about what happened. But they managed to pull it through.
There's been more close calls than we thought.
Yeah.
You see, when you're working on a soundstage in the middle of the Nevada desert.
That's fair. That's true. Nobody's ever been to space, so nobody's died in space. Because, you know, more people have died in the basement of that pizzeria where all the Democratic politicians have sex slaves, obviously.
Oh, my God. Yeah.
But, yeah, like they said after doing the analysis, like the very first shuttle flight had the pilot known how badly damaged he was, he would have crash-landed it. He's like, we would have bailed out over the ocean and this entire project would have been canceled if I was able to see the bottom of this before I landed.
Housers. Good times. And on that note.
Yep. Well, I think that's
I'm going to go eat tacos, coincidentally enough, because it's Tuesday. Raylene's making tacos. Fuck y'all, bitches.
Go to hell.
I want tacos.
go to Taco Bell.
They're probably not open right now. They probably close at 8.
No, they'll still be open. Taco Bell's open until like midnight. Are you kidding me?
Not in Verona, Wisconsin. One in Middleton
closes at like 9:30.
Yeah.
What? How do you get drunk and go to Taco Bell?
Not in Verona.
I was really sad the time I showed up there at like 1 in the morning. I'm like, I want some taco. Oh, wait, you're closed? It's a Friday night. What the hell?
Yep, the one in Verona is just, it's a small town, Taco Bell. It just doesn't want us to be open. You want those hooligans out late at night.
Yeah, those Verona hooligans. Yeah, yeah.
I mean, Andy, you could drive up to La Bamba.
Yeah, but then I have to eat La Bamba.
Burrito as big as your head. And yeah. It's only 30% grease.
I mean, La Bamba honestly is one of the better, like, New Mexican street food places I've been to outside of New Mexico. Like, we used to eat that shit in New Mexico all the time. The only difference is it wasn't coming out of a storefront. It was coming out of someone's pickup truck.
Yes,
like you just buy the burritos out of a cooler, and it's like, I don't know what I'm eating, but I'm good with it.
I legitimately love La Bamba's, but I need to make sure I don't have any plans for a while.
Yeah, I was gonna tell a joke. I can't tell if it's inappropriate or not, but I was gonna say it. It's like, burritos as big as your head and as grease as deep as your toilet.
Yeah,
that's pretty.
I mean, like, it
grease is,
delicious,
man.
It is one of the most tasty ways of cleaning your system out.
Yeah.
Fair enough.
Yeah. Those portion sizes, they ain't kidding.
Yeah, they're big. All right, folks. Thanks you for listening, watching, and hopefully we'll be back soon.
That's true. And we might even have a David fact next time.
Yeah, we should. Yay.
We'll just bye.
Goodbye, everybody.